Jesus today? You got some room in you for the Word of God this morning. Come on, so awesome to be with you, and great to hear the report from Pastor Gary and the worship here today. There's something really, really great happening right here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. Come on, and while I get the joy today of wrapping up a series that we're in entitled The Master's Plan. Now, how many of y'all know that God has a plan? And how many of you have enough faith to believe the person sitting next to you is part of that plan? Yeah, and God has a plan and he has a purpose, and we're trying to uncover that plan. What is it and how does it work? And it's all about the life of Jesus. Now, several years ago, I went to nursing school in the late 1900s before they had pain medication. Yeah, and I went to Mercy School of Nursing, and I got accepted to school. It was amazing that I got accepted. I didn't have the grades to get in. I applied too late. There was nothing about my application that said this is a good candidate, but they took me anyhow, just to show you the mercy and the grace of God is alive. And I learned something the first week of school. I went to nursing school, and the very, very first week, it was somewhere around, I started on Monday, somewhere around Wednesday or Thursday, they actually took us, and they took us into the hospital, and they began getting us to do things at a very introductory level in the hospital itself. Now, they didn't wait, they didn't prolong it, they said, we're gonna do it. And so, We learned progressively through the process. Now, Mercy School of Nursing had an objective. It was not to get me to pay the bill and get me to graduate. Now, I want you to hear this. It wasn't like, can you pay and can you graduate, like most universities. That's their only goal. Their goal was not that I graduate, but their goal was that I would work in their hospital. Big difference. See, they had a vested interest that they wanted me to get an education, but it was going to need supervision, and it was going to need a lot of supervision. If any of you went to nursing school, you know what I'm talking about. And so there's progressive supervision, but the goal was to graduate, but even after I graduated, I still needed supervision. And even after I was through my time with supervision, I still needed to be under authority to be able to know what I was supposed to do and not do, so that I could be part of a team that was caring for people, not just educated. See, I went from a SN, a student nurse, to a GN, a graduate nurse. We used to call that going nowhere. And then when I passed the boards, I became an RN, a real nurse, okay, a real one. And so, see, there's a progression to the process by which there. See, and in church, it's the same way. From day one that you meet Jesus, we get involved in a process by which we're being trained and educated for something, not to get a certificate, but so that we become useful in the process of God in caring for other people. But we've turned church into an information center by which we're just going to get informed, we're going to learn some stuff, and get smart. And I want to tell you right up front, I am not here to smart you. I am not here to inform you. I am here and we exist so that when you leave here today and you leave on your outreach, because you're going to be sent here from here today, that you go and you represent not information, but you represent Jesus. How many of y'all know Jesus is really cool? Come on, I really believe that with all my heart. I really, really do. And this master plan of God is really cool. So here's the big idea. The big idea is this. Jesus' master plan is accomplished under supervision and through multiplication. Now, leave that up there. We're going through a book entitled The Master Plan of Evangelism. I'm going through the last two chapters of this book today, and it's all about Jesus. So if you want to learn about Jesus' plan, we have a book for you. And if you don't have this book right now, right here, right in this moment, and you would like to learn about the plan of Jesus and what he did and what we're still doing today, over 2,000 years later, you can learn it. As a matter of fact, we have free books for you because somebody purchased a book for you. That's right. Somebody right here, I don't even know who they are, but they purchased a book so you could learn about Jesus. I think that is pretty cool. So if you would like one of these books right now, I think we have about 7 or 8 right here. Raise your hand. One of the ushers are going to bring you a book. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. And here you go. Here's a book. Here you go. Boom. There's one. Woo. Boom. There we go. Keep your hands up. They're going to give you a book right now. And you're going to learn about Jesus. Because it's so really cool to learn about him. And then I'm going to warn you, you read that book, you're going to want to do something. Okay, you're not just going to want to get informed. You're not going to say, wow, am I smart? I am so smart. You're not going to do that. You're going to say, I'm going to do something right now. Because that's what we came here to do, get equipped and get trained. Okay, as they continue to do that, we've been launching every week out of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus tells the guys to go to a mountain, wait there. Some people worshiped and some doubted. There are people in the room right now. Some of you are radically worshiping and some are doubting. Some have doubt in your heart. I'm not here. It's true. Have you ever doubted God? Yeah, there's times I do. But in the midst of that, Jesus doesn't wait for me to get my act together. He still gives the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Here it is. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. How many of you all know that's a lot of authority? Yeah, therefore, go and have nice church services. Go and have nice church with friendly, kind people. Did he say that? No. He said, therefore, go and make disciples. Remember, make disciples is the verb. And he says, of all the nations, the ethnos, the ethnic groups. Jesus cares about all ethnic groups. We are a multi-ethnic church. But we are not multicultural. We have one culture, the culture of the kingdom of God. So we are multi-ethnic, but we have one culture, the culture of the kingdom, the Bible, biblical culture. That's what we do. And so he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And sure of this, I am with you. I'm with you. Yeah, always. Okay, so here, I'm just, oh my goodness, this is good. It's about to get good. It is good. Listen, whenever, how many of you ever felt like God's far away? How many of you felt like forsaken? Okay, if that's you, go back and read these verses. Write this down. You're going to need this because whenever God feels far away, if we go back to this text, God's not so far away. If we go and tell people about Jesus, if we go back to our identity in Christ, and if we guard and preserve the commands of the Lord, which he said right there, he gets close all of a sudden. So when he feels far away, go back. This is the key. It is. It's the key right there. He's given it to us. And he didn't say, I'm going to give you more jobs to do and more duties. He said, I'm going to give you authority. So whenever you lack authority and in empowerment of God in your life, go back here. Go back to the commands. Go back to your identity. Go back to why we're here and the purpose that God put us here on this planet. This is it right here. It's a key, the Great Commission. This is what it's telling us here. This is what he's given us. And it says, go. And Pastor Ben mentioned this last week. I'm going to say it again. Every day you leave here, every Sunday you come together, we worship God, we have a good time, we teach the Word of God, we meet some people we like and some we tolerate, and we leave here. And that's when the outreach begins. See, every time you leave here, there's an outreach waiting to happen. How many of you work? Outreach. How many of you go to the store and go shopping? Outreach. How many of you belong, maybe your kids are in a sporting event, or you go somewhere with sports or clubs or committees? Outreach. Yeah, that's where God's sending you. That's the master's plan. And that's what we're learning about here. But it happens under supervision here. And so his last words are our first command. So supervision. So in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends them out, and then they come back, okay? The 72 disciples return, and they joyfully reported to him everything that they did. Now notice they didn't come back and say, oh my goodness, am I tired? Pastor Gary came up here, he shared, he didn't come up here and say, man, you ought to feel bad for me because I traveled so long to get home. He never said that. You won't hear that from him. He actually sounds like he's full of joy. And he's sleep deprived. He doesn't even know what country he's in right now. He wonders why we're dressed so funny. But he's joyful because he gave a joyful report. And there's supervision that they gave. And there's like, yeah, the demons obey. Did you hear the report? But even Pastor Gary is a man under authority because he comes back and gives a report. We thought, oh, that was a nice report. No, he gives it. He's under authority to the elders of the church so that because you're never going to get more authority unless you're under authority. And some people in this room right now don't have authority in your life because you're not fully under authority. Yeah, and so the 72 report, and they have joy. But then look next verse in verse 21. And Jesus is there, and at the same time, Jesus was full of joy. How many of you would like to make Jesus happy? Give him a good report. Go into your world, and then tell him what happened, and he's full of joy of the Holy Spirit. And he says, man, I'm so thankful that you kept this from the wise men. He didn't really keep it from the wise men. He gave it from those who were really smart and think great of themselves. But he gives it to the childlike, not the childish. See, many people think childish is a virtue. It's not. No. Childlike is a faith that you depend on God and you trust him. Childish is immature. Childlike is mature, but you're listening to God. You're learning. It's a faith that God's going to do what he said he would do. So we need childlike faith here. And Jesus is like, this authority, this supervision. See, let me just put it this way. Many of us think supervision is to control us. I'm being controlled. Now, I had supervision when I was in nursing school. How many of you are very grateful I had supervision? Now, if you were my patient, you would be very happy that I had supervision, right? So supervision is a good thing, not a bad thing. We view it in our Western PA mindset that all authority is out, and every boss, every foreman, everybody's out to get us because they're all bad, and they're all selfish, and they're all evil. How many of y'all grew up in Western Pennsylvania? Yeah, nobody wanted to admit it there, yeah. Yeah, because we do. We're taught, we're ingrained that authority is wrong, authority's bad, they're going to control you, they're going to point out what's wrong with you, that's all they ever do. When in essence, authority is a good thing, Matthew 18, there's a centurion, he says, I'm a man with authority, I'm a man under authority. And so he understood God, and so what supervision is a good thing. It's a positive thing. We should be thankful for it. That's the point here. It's to release us into the fullness of who we really are here. But we don't think that way. Like, I'm just going to share a verse. It's you won't see it here, but in Acts chapter 20, the apostle Paul is communicating. He's saying, "Man, I labored over you and I wept over you." You have pastors, you have leaders in your church, and Pastor Ben and Melanie, they their hearts are weeping over you of care and concern and in love. That's why we can trust them, because their hearts are broken, but yet they're under authority and with authority, and their hearts break over people just like you. And Pastor Ben and Melanie, they receive their They're a son and daughter of the house, but we don't like, some people bristle over that, but they wear that as a badge of honor. They wear that as like, yeah. And together, that's something positive, but we don't think that way. But yeah, they can be trusted. See, we got to get out of our minds perfection and get into completeness. See, many people have perfection in your mind, but you don't have completeness in your mind. I don't always obey perfectly, but I obey completely. Because sometimes it takes me a few times. Anybody with me? You know? So, right? Yeah, see, sometimes I don't do everything perfect, but I'm going to do it completely with the right heart and purity. And I'm going to learn in the process. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be pleasing to God. That's completeness. You see, but we give up because we're not perfect or something like that. Or listen, in submitting to somebody in authority is a good thing. I am a man under authority. And I wear that proudly. I don't get to do what I want. I'm a part of a team. And so how do you know if you're under good supervision? How do you know if you're getting any supervision in your Christian life or not? Four things. Correction. Direction. Protection and inspection. Most of us like a couple of those. But if you're not receiving those four things, you're probably not being supervised in your Christian walk. I still receive those things. I receive them because I need them. Because how else am I going to become all that God's created me to be? How else am I going to become more useful to Him? How else am I going to, is God's kingdom going to become bigger and His church built? How else is heaven going to get bigger and hell smaller? Do any of those things excite you? Yeah. Yeah, see, but this is supervision. This is a good thing. And we're receiving help and protection. And we have a system to see it happen here. This is good. But see, what is maturity? We got to define it in the body of Christ. Because maturity is you being able to not only care for yourself, but care for somebody else. See, many people in church, they come to church for years, and they think they're mature because they keep showing up, and they keep sitting there. That's not maturity. That's called getting older. And everybody does that, whether you want to or not. The only option is death. Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life. Listen, but are we going to get mature? Are we going to be able to use who I am for the good of somebody else? We raised 5 kids, not so they could live in our house. Some of our kids every now and then will go somewhere and they'll say like, in we actually have like some extra dollars now. And they'll look at us and they'll say, are we rich? And I say, no, you moved out. There's a big difference here. You with me? Yeah, come on. See, they matured because now they're able to care for themselves and provide for themselves, but also care for other people. Whether they have their own children or not, they care for other people. That's the goal. Supervision. Supervision. Yeah. And so Jesus' master plan is accomplished by supervision and through multiplication. Multiplication. Genesis chapter 1, even in the first chapter of the book, the Bible, is God blessed them and said, be fruitful and... Yeah, that's right. From the beginning was world domination. When Jesus was here, it was world takeover. And world takeover has nothing to do with what political party you're a part of. It has everything to do with the kingdom of God. And we're going to address, in the month of October, we're going to address some political things in the election. We're going to pray. We're going to pray on Sunday mornings together. We're going to pray over the election. We're going to pray over these things. But we're going to pray that Jesus, listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you read the whole Bible, even all the way to the end, Jesus has the last word. And that's what kingdom we're a part of. That's what we're going to continue to be a part of. But he wants us to multiply here. The entire evangelistic strategy, this was the way his church was to win, through the dedicated lives of those who knew the Savior so well that his spirit and method constrained them to tell others. As simple as it may seem, this was the way the gospel would conquer. He had no other plan. God has no other plan but us, men and women. He doesn't have programs, he has people. We are it. He has a plan A. It's his church. It's his church victorious. He's coming back for his church. Why should we be involved in the church? Because he's coming back for his church. If he's coming back, I want to be a part of it. So therefore, I want to be part of his church. That's a big deal, okay? And so Jesus here, and when he's praying, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus prayed for multiplication. In John chapter 17 is really the Lord's prayer. He prayed. He says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, okay, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Do you know that Jesus is praying for your outreach this week? Some of you are saying, I didn't know our church was doing an outreach. Some of you are like, I didn't even know. How'd I miss this? Well, first of all, if you read your emails, beautiful things happen. But that's a different story. That's a whole different message, okay? But no, we're going to do an outreach because you're going to leave here today. Don't you plan on leaving here today? And when you leave here today, there's an outreach waiting to happen. So Jesus was praying for his disciples. And we're disciples. That means I have somebody discipling me. Many people say, well, Jesus is my discipler. No, if you can't submit to man who you can't see, you'll never submit to God you can't see. It's just the way it is. If you can't be under authority to hear on earth, you'll never be under authority to somebody you can't see, God in heaven. I'm trying to help you. I mean that with all my heart. I'm trying to help. But Jesus prayed that through us the world would know who he is and what he came to do. He came to bring freedom. He came to heal the brokenhearted, lift the downcast. He came to return sight to the blind, not only physically but spiritually. He came here with a purpose and a plan. And it's our lives being joined together for a greater purpose than we could ever have on our own. I'm so thankful for that. I really, really mean that. Multiplication is all through the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's like the first like 34 years of the church. Right in there. Actually, if you read the book of Acts, it's a progress report. In Acts 6-7, they continued. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, okay. But in Acts 9, three chapters later, it says in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, they had peace, and they were in the fear of the Lord and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it multiplied. So first it was in Jerusalem, and then it went to three other places, and it multiplied. Multiplication is great. How many of you would like your salary to be added to or multiplied? All of a sudden, we like multiplication. Right? Come on. Am I right? See, multiplication, so it goes on. There's the next verse is there in 16. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily, 16. Then in chapter 19, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Then the last verse in Acts, chapter 28, The early church, check this out, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. That word hindrance is unhindered in the Greek, which literally, in context to the Greek it's initially in, it's almost like you have to put a dot, dot, dot after it. It means that the word of God and the multiplication that happened from when Jesus, the Great Commission, through the book of Acts, it hits this spot and says it will go unhindered, dot, dot, dot. We're living in one of those dots. We're living in the dot. Dot, 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 dot. There's a couple ministries that say, you know, they're Acts 29. I'm like, man, it's been 2,000 years. We should be way past 29 by now. I mean, we're living like Acts 122 or something. I don't know. But what I'm saying, it's unhindered. It's mighty. But we don't see it that way. We don't view what God can do and will do through inadequate people just like you and me that are under good supervision, being trained, being equipped, not to get a degree or a certificate, but to affect our world. That's why he put me on this planet. 2 Timothy 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. This is the foundation scripture of our church. So this is how it works. You receive something. You respond. You report back. And then you're able to reproduce it in others. Many of us hear, and we're very polite, we listen, but there's no response. No, what am I going to do with this? Who can I share this with? What am I receiving? See, I'm still living, and Natalie and I, we're living with our notebooks open. Our notebooks are never going to be closed. What I'm trying to say to you, we're never going to get to a place where we've been there, done that, know that. Because we're going to continue to live in a place where I'm receiving something to give it away. This isn't for me right now. This is for somebody else. Even in the midst of whatever we're going through here. Yeah, this was Jesus' way. A someone, not a something. You see, we reproduce who we are, not what we say. See, when you become a Christian, it's no longer do as I say, not as I. No, it's follow me as I follow Christ. But, wow, we can't do that. Man, if you only knew me. Yeah, no, there's every person in this room right now could have that in your life. But it goes back to who are you receiving from? Who are you responding? Who are you reporting back to? And then you have something to give. Well, I'm never going to be called to be a pastor. You should thank God for that. Did that come out? That did. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like, do you know that only 15% of the pastors that start off in pastoring actually finish their vocational career as a pastor? 15%. Pastor Gary, part of the top 15th percentile. Pastor Ben, 26 or 27 years? 28. There you go. It was 26 2 years ago. I'm just working on addition, let alone multiplication. Come on, somebody. Yeah, but 28 years. You're going to finish well. You're going to finish the race. But you have a race you got to respond to. You got to do. You have one. Are you with me here? You see, but this is it. See, I want you to hear this here. I value your friendship, and I'm committed to your discipleship. I value friendship. But I'm committed to your discipleship. You becoming more like Jesus. See, many people, they just want friendship. They just want the bro anointing. They want the Rick anointing. Hey, Rick. Look, we're not a big title church, but Rick, bro. Look, you got to decide. You want the bro anointing? You want the pastor anointing? No, I'm serious. We don't, well, no, I just want to be friends. I want everybody to be on my level. I want to pull everybody down. No, I want the anointing of God. I want to grow. I'm not done growing. Are you with me? This is discipleship here. This is the anointing he wants to give us. Winning the world is the purpose. Let me give you a couple. 2 weeks ago, I was on an outreach. Camouflaged as a tennis match. I was on an outreach, and I'm at my outreach, and it was a very, God gave me plenty of opportunities to be humbled. I was losing. Fancy way of saying losing. And so I'm having fun, though, because I just determined my character and integrity is what I want people to see. Who cares about the score? I can't even tell you what the score was, but I'm going to remember character and integrity. And so I'm just talking about Jesus. Hey, man. What do you think about Jesus? And he just looked at me like, please, God, release this from me. He was, you know, he just looked at me, and we talked, and I just told him, I said, yeah, Jesus is pretty cool, and I'm just talking. And he goes, don't you have a theology practice? I mean, it threw me. Nobody's ever said that to me before. And I went, and I said, as a matter of fact, I do. I said, we have this theology and we're practicing it. If doctors can have a practice and lawyers can have a practice, well, I want to practice too. And what I'm trying to say is, we're all practicing. And so I just got a chance to just tell them about Jesus. And then yesterday, I'm on another outreach at Highland Park, playing tennis. Never met this person before. I says, hey, how you doing? We got into a conversation. He asked the dreaded question, what do you do for a living? Sometimes I like saying, I was a registered nurse. I'd like to, you know, I'm like, no. And I says, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh, where are you, pastor? And I told him, and he says, oh. He says, I helped film a video at the White Oak campus, like White Oak Church, he said, White Oak Church. And I went, you did? And he went, yeah, there was a video there, it was a rap video, and I helped film it. I go, wow. I go, man, pretty cool. And so I just start telling him about Jesus. I said, man, I don't know if you know this or not, but I mean, I've met Jesus, and he's like, he changed my life, gave me a purpose. And he made it very, very clear, very quickly, because I'm Jewish. And so listen to me, I'm trying to help you right now. I didn't get into this whole thing about, all these prophecies and how many prophecies were about Jesus. And I didn't get it. I just said, you know what? I met Jesus at 15 years old. That was a long time ago, and he's changed my life. And I'm still serving him after 4 decades. I'm still following Jesus because I just love him and he loves me. And we just start talking about Jesus. I'm not here to get into a theological thing. I just want to tell you about Jesus. And when we get the spirit of multiplication on us, a couple things happen. It just becomes about Jesus. It just becomes about him. Like, why wouldn't you want to be a follower of Jesus? I says, oh man, you got to come to church. He goes, I have some friends that are born again. Me too. I do too, believe it or not. See, we're making it more complicated. That's why when you leave here today, you're going to be on an outreach. And just share him. And so I'm going to help you learn to share Jesus. You want to help? How many of you are already going your outreach this week? Okay, real simple, real simple. I like things simplistic. God knows. He sees, and he cares. I can't solve your problems, but I know who can. I can't even ease all the tensions going on in your life, but I know Jesus can. So this has just been something I've been trying to carry with me. If I don't say these words, I didn't say these words the last 2 weeks, but I have it in my heart. God knows. He sees. And he cares. So I want to see if you can do it. I'm about to train you right now. We're going to say this together out loud, like with our voice. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Can you see that? Y'all good? God
knows.
He
sees.
He
cares.
Okay, one more time. You got this. Come on. God
knows. He sees.
I'm about to commission you into your world. You don't got to have it all figured out. You just got to know him. When we know him, that matters. I don't, people come to me all the time with all this craziness and what about this and what about that and what about this? And I don't know. But I do know this. God knows. He sees and he cares. Well, how do you know? Because I'm here telling you. That's how simple it is. When you leave here today, you're going to be given at least two. Everybody here, you get two invitations. Hard copy, old school. How many of you know old school is a good school? Come on. You can tell everybody older, just say, yeah. Now, if you don't want to do it old school, you can get your phone out, and we have a Crushed series. What do you do when your world is falling apart? You can either take a picture of that right there, or take a picture, and you're going to send it to everybody you know. I mean, you're going to send it. Hey, I was thinking of you. I want you to come to church with me next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're beginning a brand new series. What do you do when your world is falling apart? Because everybody in this room right now has either had your world fall apart or it's probably going to. It's called life. In the great words of a great philosopher, Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can't climb your next mountain until you go through a valley. So I want you, yeah, everybody's going to get with these. So there's going to be nice people. They're going to hand these to you when you leave. They're smiling. Now, they're going to be at both doors, so you can't get out. Because you're going to be on an outreach this week, and you're going to wish you had one, two, maybe three. We might believe God give away four. And I want you to send them to your friends and invite them to come, because we're going to help people in your family members, your world, people you work with, people that live near you. We're going to help them. We're going to help them find Jesus. Because we're under authority, under good supervision. We're going to give a report. So you're going to go to your group this week. You're going to go to your small group, and you're going to share with them. I got a chance to invite somebody. Oh, I didn't get a chance yet. Let's invite as many people as we can, because God wants this thing to multiply. Are you with me? How many of y'all really believe that? He really wants this thing to multiply. He wants us to do it. That's what he wants here. So this is it. Just help me right now, Lord. There are five steps, and everybody in this room is in one of these five steps. Now, Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody. There's five. So he loved everybody, loves everybody. And you don't even have to go to church to be loved by God. You don't even have to be a Christian to be loved by God. You can just live your own life. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. So that's one step. But when you receive God's love, bam, something changes. God's about to do that in some of your hearts right here, right today. The next step is Jesus fed the multitudes. Everybody that showed up got fish and chips. They got the fireman's fish fry, French fries. Everybody eats. Some people in this building right now, you are coming here because you like to eat. And how I know you're stuck at this phase is because you complain that the tartar sauce is too sour, or you complain that there's not enough cocktail sauce. See, when you're complaining, you're stuck in the Jesus feeds the multitude phase. I'm just here to judge the fish and chips. I'm here to see if it's crispy or not. Let's see if the fish and chips are crispy. I'm serious. But then you go to another level. Jesus trained in Luke chapter 10, the 70, 72 we read earlier, 70. Listen, he trains people. That means he gets you into a group. He gets you on a team. And he begins equipping you to help others. You go to the women's overflow event next Sunday. You're evolved. You're going. I'm going to be trained. See, I'm going to be I'm not just here to judge the fish and chips. I'm not just here to be loved. I'm here to go somewhere with this. I want to be trained. I want everything. I'm going to get to Victory and Freedom Weekend because I want to be free in my life. See, you have to want to be free. And some of y'all don't want to be free because you like your demons. You've gotten used to them. And I want to tell you, you don't have to get used to them. You can be free. And the next is you're discipled. That means you're not just kind of showing up for events and getting trained. You have a somebody that's helping you. Jesus got himself a small group. You get yourself in a group and you begin developing a relationship. And then there's also another level where you become one of the three where I'm receiving so I can give of myself now. God is about to take you up a level right now. God has brought you to this place today, not just to speak to you a cool message. Yeah, listen, because Jesus' message ain't really that cool. It's not that sexy. It's this. It's you receive him. You receive his forgiveness. And he takes people like you and me and moves us from love to we eat, to we're being trained, to we're discipled, that we know how to give our lives away. How many of you are ready to go up a level? I'm not sure. Have you seen yourself there? Do you see yourself there? How many of you are just saying, I can go up a level? If that's you, just stand to your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you right now. If that's you, just say, man, or I'm just going to get better. I just want to get better at where I am right now. That's all. I just want to get better at where I am. Heavenly Father, I pray over every person standing right now. I pray that you would move on their hearts, Lord God, not with emotion, not with feeling, but the Spirit of God, the anointing of God on people's lives right now, right here, right in this moment. Let people go beyond themselves in Jesus' name, responding to you, responding to you, responding to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, for a commissioning into our world, Lord. And so, God, I pray right now, Father, for every person in this room right now that doesn't know you, God. Lord God, they don't know you. They don't know your love. They don't know it personally, Lord. And they're afraid. They're doubting. They're afraid to risk it all, God. But I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we prayed this morning, Lord God, that walls would come down, Lord God, and that the mercy and grace of God would be found here. And I pray for those in this room right now that don't have a date or a time or a moment where they met Jesus. Jesus Christ, the forgiver of sin and the leader to our future. And if you are here today and you would like a new start, a fresh start, just like that man said yesterday, become born again. That means spiritually born again. And you would like Jesus Christ to be your only way to heaven, his cross, his sacrifice, and then you would like him to lead you into your future. I want to offer you this joyful, awesome, over-the-top love of God today. And if that's you and you don't have a date or a time, but you'd like today to be yours and you're not sure, I want you to do something real simple, real joyful, but yet real bold. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are and say, man, I could use that today. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray over every hand today, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for a new beginning. I thank you, Lord God, today is your day, God, for God, a time, Lord God, of spiritual freedom, of spiritual life, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. And so, God, we just rejoice in you and thank you for moving us out of our seats and into action today. In Jesus' name, let's give God a great big hand. Come on, let's just thank him. God, we thank you, Lord, today. Amen. Y'all are so great. You can be seated. Pastor Ben, come on up and tell them what they want. No, I'm just kidding. Come on up.
Give it up for Pastor Rick today.